The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network on the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
The league year started a week ago today, and few teams have been busier than the Chicago Bears in assembling their 2016 squads. Hi, everyone. Zach Zabeman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. You can join us throughout the hour. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. The best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So, Tom, let's not waste any time. The Bears added three new starters on the defensive side of the ball. They have a new right tackle in Bobby Massey. They've been busy bringing back Zach Miller at the tight end position, and they've made other minor moves as well. How much better is this team right now from when the season ended?
Well, you just look at the start of the season last year. You look at the inside linebacker position. When you really take it into scope and you look at Shea McClellan and you look at Christian Jones, they don't have any experience at the inside linebacker position in an NFL professional 34 defense. They don't understand the nuances of the game. They don't know how to move into place. They don't know how to flow with the defensive line in front of them and the outside linebackers. They already have more experience at that position that they started the season with last year. You look at Akeem Hicks. When they had Jenkins, Jarvis Jenkins last year, it was kind of an experiment to see if they can kind of capture lightning in a bottle of a guy that passes the eye test. But is he going to give you the 16-game dominant effort that you need in order to be a competitive and win your division? They're already better there. So if you look at the guys that are being replaced by the new guys coming in, they already have more experience in the defense they're going to play, and they have a better outline of their career. You look at the accomplishments of every one of those guys. They accomplish more than the guys they're replacing. So I think immediately, right out of the gate, they're a better defense, even if we haven't seen them in a Bears uniform yet, the guys they signed, because of the experience they have.
Now, Jim, if you flip it to the offensive side of the ball, Zach Miller's back. They add Bobby Massey at the right tackle position, which allows them to move Kyle Long to his natural position of right guard. You get back a healthy Kevin White, a healthy Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler, you're number two in this system. What does it mean for the Bears?
Well, I think they continue to build. You know, by the one signing of Bobby Massey, again, it affects two positions, both guard and tackle, that you're upgrading there. I mean, when it's all said and done, I mean, you look at Kyle Long, his two Pro Bowls are at guard. And so that's where he's played his best football. He's somewhat out of sorts. Not that he can't play tackle, but now you get a big bruising right tackle like a Bobby Massey that can affect the run game. And those are two beefy guys. And most teams are right-hand dominant. And I think that's John Fox at his core. He wants to be able to run the football. So you're still uncertain about Kevin White, but you re-sign and franchise tag Alshon Jeffrey. That protects you at least one playmaker from that standpoint. And if a healthy Kevin White is back on the field, he will be an impact player also, because he can affect coverage with his speed. Now with the re-signing of Rob Hausler and Zach Miller, you've got the flexibility at the tight end position. Zach, as we all know, probably a better receiver than a blocker because he's such a good athlete. He made plays. You think of that Rams game where he had a 79-yard touchdown. It was just basically a little arrow route to the flat, and he outran everybody. So he's got some big play potential. I think he'll continue to grow as a pass-receiving tight end. Then you bring back Hausler. If rumors and reports are true that Martellus Bennett not happy being shopped around, you'd like to think the Bears could acquire more compensation. And then the players that you talked about. When you've got a young Jeremy Langford, who I saw at Michigan State's Pro Day today, I thought he was fantastic, along with Hammerhead, Kadeem Carey, and Rodgers being re-signed, added to the mix in the running backfield. That's another player that they like. So I think all in all, you take a step forward on offense, second year of a new system, even though it's a different coordinator, they are taking steps forward with more playmakers.
You know, just one more about Bobby Massey signing at the offensive tackle position. It also upgrades your tight end position because now you have experience at the right tackle position. And say you have Kari Lee in there at the point of attack blocker, the tight end. You got Zach Miller running backside or the H-back type tight end. When you have experience of guys that have the reps, You know, over 30 starts in the NFL at right tackle for Bobby Massey. So now you have someone that when they break the huddle, they don't have 1,000 thoughts going through their head every single play like Kyle Long did last year. Now you got Kyle in a strength comfort zone, but you also have the ability to have experience next to the tight end position.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the hour. Also be joined by tight end Zach Miller, as well as the new defensive end Akeem Hicks later on here on Bears All Access. Out to the phones we go. Bob in Downers Grove, you are on Bears All Access.
Yeah, how you doing today?
What's going on, Bob?
My big concern is at center. I'm not a big fan of Grassu, and there's nobody really to back him up on the roster that I'm aware of.
You know, I do think there's a lot of potential and there's a lot of growth that we all have to see out of Hronis Grassu, and that is the dedication to the weight room and the other subtleties that's in the, that goes on in the classrooms with Hronis Grassu. I know he has the skills and the ability to play at a high level, but you always have to be willing to gain strength every offseason you have because there's a lot of confidence in strength. But you got Matt Slauson, and here's a guy that if they do have another offensive guard, they signed Becton. Is that it?
Nick Becton.
Nick Becton. They also signed him to come in there and compete on the interior. If worst-case scenario worked out where Hronis wasn't the guy that was going to line up at center, and they did have to move Slauson over there. So they do have, you know, other options out there than just Hronis to be the guy that is either going to succeed or fail at center.
In the span of an offseason, can you get as strong as you need to be based on the Hronis Grassu that you saw last season to what he needs to be this year?
No, you know, every offseason you always want to get stronger, whether you're in your second year or your 10th year, because that is the confidence. You have to take the field with the confidence that if I get beat with my feet, I'm going to win with my strength, or vice versa. So, again, you never are satisfied with your strength as an NFL player. You always want to make a gain. You always want to set a goal for yourself. But when you're in a weight room that you're not the strongest guy in the weight room anymore, like maybe you were in college, now there's guys, you know, 10 guys, 15 guys in the weight room that are stronger than you, then all of a sudden you have that goal to reach for.
And, Jim, when you look at the move of Kyle Long back inside and having Slauson on the other side and Grassu getting an offseason now where, you know, the neck is healthy, you're able to do the things in the weight room that you need to do, how much better is that going to make Grassu as a player?
Well, I think, you know, just getting more comfortable in the offense. He moves extremely well. This is a center that tested very well in terms of getting to the second level, and that's what you need to do to have a really good run game at the end of the day, is how well you move as an interior offensive lineman. I mean, it's not just about being strong, because you can call plays where, you know, you get the angle on the defender and you're getting in the best position to make the block. A lot of times you're not pancaking anybody. It's just really where you're stalemating just to create a crease for the running back to run through. And like Tom said, it's a lot of dedication. You know, I think for Hronis Grassu, probably the play last year that you think about the most is the game against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he got bowled over and caused the Bears a touchdown in the end zone. You know, you have to have the ability to anchor, and that's just hours in the weight room, squatting, deadlifting, cleans, those type of things to get the base and get stronger so you get the push coming off the football. They're not done at the position yet. I think the Bears, there's a lot of guys in the draft that are center guard combos that they could draft later in the draft, and guys that potentially other teams may want to raid the roster. I looked at a guy today for Michigan State, Jack Allen. He's played center guard and tackle at Michigan State. He's a guy projected to go but fourth, fifth round. I mean, those could be a solid guy that, as Tom knows, a lot of teams are dabbling that sixth lineman off of the bench that sometimes even plays tight end to increase their blocking. So there's a lot of guys in this draft that the Bears could draft later in the draft and upgrade and continue to build depth at the back end of the roster.
Yeah, you saw that during the second half of last season when Jermont Bushrod was brought in, that jumbo package that Adam Gase used at the tail end of the year. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Bears tight end Zach Miller, as well as new Bears defensive end Akeem Hicks. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden. Brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago. Or visit ChicagoBears.com/InsideTheBears to check out show segments anytime. And, You know, this week I'm told on Inside the Bears, Lauren Screeden sits down with newly signed linebacker Danny Trevathan. John Fox shares life lessons he learned from his Navy SEAL stepfather, and Spice Adams joins Adrian Amos in a football clinic for kids at Hallis Hall. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com. anytime. And Jim, I want to start with you because, you know, we mentioned the segment with Danny Trevathan, and what comes to mind about the signings of both Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman is when you look at the inside linebacker position in this upcoming draft, it was considered a weak class for that position. So it looks like when you start to analyze what the Bears have done this offseason, Ryan Pace very diligently began to fill the holes that you couldn't via the draft. And it's really set the Bears up nicely. They've used free agency to be able to get what they really need in this year's draft.
Yeah, I think he's worked it beautifully. You know, we started this process, we talked about the pro player side as soon as the season gets done, starts getting cranked up for the Bears. Hey, what free agents are going to be available out there? At the same time, the college scouting director is cranking up the college side of things. Hey, where's the draft going to be deep this year? Okay, D-tackle. There's some good safeties coming out, a couple of good offensive linemen, but here are the areas where the draft is going to be deep and areas that we could target. Now, what are the needs of our football team? And you try to marry those and mesh those two groups, pro player personnel side and the college side, and then you start to see the direction your team should go in Detroit to start to acquire talent to build your team. Thought he hit it out of the park. He selected in free agency two instinctive linebackers, as Tom mentioned, that come with a lot of experience. Now, I'm not saying that those other players were poor players or bad players like Shea McClellan or the other players that had an opportunity inside. It's just that they're not instinctive. It's taken Shea, what, three different positions? He's been outside backer. He's played defensive end. Now they thought the best position was that inside backer. I mean, how long can you wait for a player to develop or just go out in free agency and get tried and true players that come with a lot of production? Trevathan has done it since he's come into the National Football League. Very speedy linebacker, very instinctive, and always around the football. And for Jarrell Freeman, he's only been the leading tackler for the Indianapolis Colts over the last 3 years. This is a very productive inside backer, and both guys come with attitude and love football. They absolutely love football. I couldn't, when Jarrell Freeman kind of took a shot at his old teammate, Kobe Fleener, I loved it. I want players in my locker room that back me up 100% and back up the locker room and the football players around him. So, and Jarrell Freeman, I think, made no bones about it. That's a good football player, and I thought Ryan Pace knocked it out of the park.
Jim, Tom, it looks like Ryan Pace is busy as we speak. Adam Schefter reporting, quote, wheeling and dealing continues. The Bears are trading tight end Martellus Bennett to the Patriots for draft pick compensation, league sources tell Schefter. Teams finalizing the deal, but Chicago and New England are expected to swap mid to late round picks in exchange for Martellus Bennett.
Hey, you know, I think it's the best case scenario for Martellus Bennett because he needs a really structured surrounding to get the best out of him. His attitude, his effort, and his what he means in the locker room. Because Martellus has the side and the ability to catch the ball and the ability to block. However, you need every one of these guys to fit into a team and how a team is at its best.
And joining us now on the show is, I guess, the guy who is the current Bears number one tight end heading into the offseason now. Zach Miller joins us here on Bears All Access. And Zach, I don't know if you're aware of the news that Adam Schefter is reporting less than 5 minutes ago that the Bears are trading Martellus Bennett to the Patriots for draft pick compensation. So what's your quick reaction as you hear this report now live?
News to me. I mean, that's the first time I had heard that. You know, I think that'll be, you know, if that's true and it works out for both sides, that's a good thing.
Hey, Zach, congratulations on your new contract. I'm glad things worked out well, so well for you last year. You know, you really became a fan favorite throughout the whole season. And it's not only what you were able to accomplish, but your effort, your attitude, and what you portrayed when you were doing interviews. Did that have anything to do with the influence because, you know, Chicago really surrounded you and was really glad to have you on the team?
Yeah, definitely.
you know, for me and my family, both are just felt embraced by the city. Really love the fan base that we have, man. Chicago's such an awesome sports town and sports city to be in. So, you know, it was a warm welcome for me, and it was clear in my intentions that I really wanted to be back to be part of that awesome group, that awesome fan base.
Hey, Zach, Jim Miller here, your long-lost cousin. Congratulations.
How you doing,
Someone's looking to get paid.
You're more of an uncle.
Yeah. Well, excited to have you back in Chicago, and congratulations. And I know you've been through the gamut, the injuries and all those things. But once you finally got on the field last year and you start making plays, you know, it's almost like a drug. You know, you become addicted to it. And just touch on that, because I got to believe what's going on in your mind is, hey, here are the Bears. Give me an opportunity. Now I get a chance to return there, and man, I did some good things last year. How much better can I play here in the future?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. I was talking to a friend of mine who played in the league for a couple of years, and he's like, man, why do you like this? Why do you want to keep on playing? And I was like, bro, after last year, it's like, after that feeling, man, like, I need more. I want more. So yeah, I mean, going back to it, it's something where you get a taste of it. And I had so much fun, man. The franchise and the organization is just something that I want to be a part of. And I think we're going to be a great football team. And I just it worked out so well for me last year. Sorry, my wife was just showing me something on the phone.
She's showing you the news, isn't she?
No, she was showing me a picture of a T-shirt. A new T-shirt of a logo that was designed on there.
Hey, Zach.
But anyways, back to the interview.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Back to you.
You know, I was thinking, you know, you conclude the season healthy. How much is that going to help you throughout this offseason where, you know, we've all finished the season, we've all had maintenance surgeries, or we concluded the year with an injury that took a little toll on us during the offseason, but you finish the season healthy. How much is that going to help you be ready for not only the OTAs and then when training camp gets here?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's huge. It's one of those, probably one of the few that I've had where I've been able to go in the off season, really kind of just get into my routine as far as the stuff that I did leading into the season. I can kind of just pick up where I left off. You know, I took a couple weeks off just to kind of rejuvenate and then get back into my routine. So it's been a really good off season for me so far, just as far as individually taking care of my body and working out and doing things like that. So it's really going to help me as we prepare for OTAs, and I can come straight in when we report April 18th and really just kind of take off from there. So it'll be good.
Well, what were you thinking throughout the process? Because here you make some big plays, and it was an exciting year for you. But now here you're presented free agency, and I got to believe you're kind of a little bit anxious. You know, hey, what's out there? I could be in a different city. You know, I'm going to have to move. My family, everybody joining me in potentially a new city around the country. And maybe thoughts on that, and then how that went for you. And then obviously the offer by the Bears to return home had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it did. You know, the first part is, there's anxiety. You know, it's just the unknown stuff is kind of, you know, what's going to happen, how's this all going to play out. But it kind of just, for me, I just wanted to let it play out and really hope that it worked out on its own. But, yeah, there's days where you're wondering, you know, well, how's this going to play out? You're looking, we got to move, new family, new schools for the kids, new places to live. Thank God that is something we can come back to, a place where we're welcome, a place where we're familiar with. Kids got friends in school, so that played a big part in the decision, just knowing that it was going to be a seamless transition and we could come back where it's really Chicago's kind of our second home. So that was kind of my first time in free agency as far as coming off a decent year and a productive season. So it was interesting. It was fun, but a little bit stressful at times if nobody's calling, but it ended up working out.
Hey, you know, Zach, you're kind of like a five-position player. When you think about your contributions on special teams, point of attack tight end, backside on the line of scrimmage tight end, and an H-back and a fullback type of tight end. When the Bears talked about you about your role in this offense specifically. Do they talk about Kari Lee and Hausler more being a point of attack blocker and you having a lot more, still have a lot more movement within the offense? Or is it something that we're going to redevelop Zach Miller as our number one tight end and then assess what he's going to do for this offense?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't know really kind of how we're going to move forward. You know, now with, you know, if Schefter's report is good and is Marty going to New England and things like that, I know that I'm going to be doing kind of what I was late in the year as far as moving around. I'll be doing, you know, similar stuff that we did the last 6 weeks as far as I'll probably be some inline stuff. Kari's obviously going to be a part of it. Rob probably going to be a part of it. And we can kind of really just do this thing as a group and then hopefully move me around and get me in position to make plays.
How much does the offense change with the addition of Kevin White, a healthy Eddie Royal, Jermy Langford now taking over as the number one running back? You obviously.
And a healthy Alshon.
Yeah, healthy Alshon, you getting a greater role. And you know Dowell a little bit, obviously not in the role of offensive coordinator, but what changes about the dynamics of the Bears offense?
I mean, you add Kevin into the mix, and hopefully, you know, we're all healthy with Alshon and Eddie and, you know, Marquise and Mark. I mean, you got, it's a good group. And then the guys in the backfield with Jermy and whoever else steps up, Kadeem, Quiz. I mean, the list goes on. I just think it's a lot of options, a lot of weapons that at the disposal of Jay. You know, I mean, he's got weapons to deliver the football to, and you know, hopefully we're a dynamic offense and you can spread the ball around and really give defenses, you know, problems on who they're going to try and cover. You know, Alshon requires a lot of attention out there on the zone. You know, so that's just going to create, you know, more problems in single matchups for the guys on the inside. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how much will change as far as, you know, Dowell taking over, but I'm sure he's going to put his own spin on it, and it'll be exciting.
Well, it is Zach, exciting, yeah, no question
Zach,
about it.
Last one for me, Zach, and appreciate your time and congratulations again. Normally every offseason, you know, I used to make like a list of five things that, I need to get better at maybe these five things. What's the one thing you say, you know, this offseason I really got to concentrate and be better at, you fill in the blank?
I was just asked this question earlier. I haven't made that list yet. You know, I'll make a goal list here within like the next month. I normally do it like 2 weeks before we report, just so I can like lay them out and they'll be fresh in my mind. I do that every off season. I think for me, the main thing that I want to do, if I want to, you know, kind of complete this thing and really be a complete tight end and a number one guy, which I want to do and I plan on doing, is just I'm going to dial in on the technique stuff as far as the run game and pass protection, because I improved so much on it last year, and I just want to keep improving. I want to lay that foundation so as the year ended, now I can just pick back up and really hone in on the details of the stuff that I learned and the stuff that Frank kind of really taught me. So that's kind of, I think, probably number one goal for me individually.
Zach, thank you very much. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations, Zach.
Bears tight end Zach Miller, whose role now becomes even that much more important with the news from Adam Schefter this hour that Martellus Bennett has been traded by the Bears to the New England Patriots.
I want to ask Jim Miller a question, because I listen to all these different talks about football. And Jim, when you talk about a receiver, a one, a two, a three, a four, is it important for every week to make sure that you have that same identification about the receivers that you're putting out there? Or is it okay for Kevin White to be the one some weeks, Alshon to be the one some weeks, and then you got Eddie Royal, Zach Miller, and Jermy Langford? Speaking from a quarterback, do you want the consistency of always having the same number attached to the player? Or is it okay to switch those numbers around according to your opponent?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it definitely can change every week depending on who is the weak link on a defense. You know, I look at a team like New England. They can morph and do anything, meaning like some weeks they're just going to say, hey, we're going to run the football. I mean, look at some of the games, LeGarrette Blount, it's literally run for 200 yards because they know, hey, this is what we have to do to beat our opponent this week. This is where their weakest link is. And I also think it's about moving guys around, because I do think it's important that certain guys who are playmakers need to get so many touches a game. Let's say, you know, Kevin White is hot for 3 weeks in a row. You know, so week four, You know, you don't want to just say, hey, let's not throw the ball to Kevin White. You know, you want to move guys around depending on how hot they are, how they're playing. Maybe they're dinged up. Well, we can't focus Kevin White this week. He says his shin's a little banged up. Let's put our focus now on Alshon Jeffrey. Let's move him around. And so I do think it's a, you know, it's a chessboard, and you got to put the chess pieces in the right place, one depending on the health of your roster, where the defense has the weak links, where you can work the quote-unquote matchups that work in your favor on offense. But to me, the best offenses are the ones that are multiple. You got to be – sometimes you got to be able to go two tight ends. Sometimes you got to be able to go heavy sets. Sometimes you got to be able to go three wide receivers. I've complained about three wide receivers that the Bears haven't had that personnel grouping for a couple years now. That still needs to be addressed because Eddie Royal went down and Marquise Wilson went down. So that's still an issue for the Chicago Bears that I think that hasn't been addressed. So multiple is the key, and use those chess pieces to get the best mismatches.
We just heard from the Bears' new tight end, the number one guy in the starting lineup, Zach Miller. Martellus Bennett, according to Adam Schefter, traded by the Bears to the New England Patriots. There's a lot going on this hour here on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabeman. Coming up in just a bit, we'll be talking with the former Patriot, the new Bears defensive end, Akeem Hicks, and we're taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Zabeman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access. You can join us at 312-644-6767. It's a busy hour. Adam Schefter reporting the Bears have traded Martellus Bennett to the New England Patriots. And there are going to be some people who ask, Tom, and this is a fair question, why? Why would you trade Martellus Bennett if you watch him play football? It appears as though he's a productive player.
Yeah, you know, because it's a team, and it's got to, you have to have every single coach, every single player, trainer, equipment guy, all pointed in the same direction and with the same goals. And you can't be you can't have controversy because you don't feel like you're not being featured in the offense enough. You cannot create controversy because you're blocking too much and you're not being put out on all these extravagant routes that you see some of the other tight ends in the league, anybody from Fleener in Indianapolis to what they thought they were going to have in Seattle with the tight end they traded
Jimmy
from
Graham
North,
from
Jimmy
New
Graham.
Orleans.
So that's not what Martellus is, and unfortunately, you have to do what you're told. You don't have a chance to stand up and, you know, not confrontational or argumentative. You have to do what you're told. As a player, you don't have a chance to question anybody about your assignments and the team goals.
And this has been a constant thing, Jim, that we've seen in the year plus that Ryan Pace and John Fox have been in charge of the Bears organization from a football standpoint. They will not hesitate to say goodbye to people that they don't believe fits the vision of what they want.
Yeah, and I believe, like what Tom said, you have to understand your role and the type of team and being an unselfish player and being a complete teammate and being the ultimate teammate in a, you know, in the ultimate team sport, which is football. I mean, they're just trying to build this thing. It's not going to go, you know, you're not building Rome in a day if you're Martellus Bennett. Now, if you're Martellus Bennett, are you happy going to New England? Because you're not even the best tight end on that team. You will be second fiddle to Rob Gronkowski. And so the only reason why Bill Belichick traded for Martellus Bennett is they haven't had the two tight end combo since Aaron Hernandez had to leave the National Football League. Scott Chandler, who they signed last year from the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots didn't even want to re-sign him. He had 23 receptions, not the player Bill Belichick is looking for. He's always wanted to feature two tight ends, and Martellus Bennett isn't going to get a lot of work opposite Gronkowski because that's the guy who's the playmaker down the field.
There's a report by CSN New England. Tom E. Curran is the guy who covers the Patriots for that outlet, and he's reporting that the Patriots will give up a fourth and get back a sixth as well in the Martellus Bennett deal. Late round compensation still being worked out. So if that's true,
gotta love those fourth rounders. They're productive as heck, as far as I'm concerned. I was a fourth rounder.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeremy Langford was a fourth rounder. We'll take that. We'll take you too, Tom. Absolutely.
You know, one thing about Martellus going to New England and Bill Belichick, there is no negotiation in the meeting room. You do not have an opportunity to give your own ideas how you feel that you best fit in. It's going to be about what they tell you to do. And then you don't get a chance to make mental errors. You have to go out there and you have to know your assignment to the every detail of it, and it's got to be done correctly.
312-644-6767 is the phone number, Jim. Let's go out to the phones. Lucius in Bolingbrook, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing. Hey, Tom, I was wondering if you can explain real quick or as in-depth as possible what goes on from the time that the play is called in the huddle to what goes on at the line of scrimmage as far as the play calls from the linemen as far as their assignments, please.
All right, I'm going to give it to you as a lineman, and Jim's going to give it to you as a quarterback. When you're an offensive lineman, that you hear a catchphrase within the terminology that the quarterback is saying that associates to you specifically. If it's a run play, you listen to the details, you listen to the point of attack, and then you kind of get an understanding of who you may be working with within the design of that play. Or if it's a protection, you have to listen to the number of the protection, you have to understand in what direction the protection's going, how many steps the quarterback is going to take, and what is the realistic time that the quarterback needs to complete the pass? Jim, give us some more details about what the quarterback's thinking when you break the huddle.
Here's what Tom hears. I'm going to call play in the huddle. Hey, guys, let's go. I right near Z half fly. Let's go 772 Z drive X post. On one. Ready, break. Here's what the linemen hear. Wah, 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 wah. 772. Wah, 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 wah. On one. That's what they hear because they hear the 772. Seven says seven-step drop. 72 is a 72 protection, meaning the line is going to slide to the will backer. I, as a quarterback, I'm hot off too strong. It's Z-drive principle. It's the drive principle. So here's what the wide receivers heard. They heard I right near. The Z heard Z half fly. Wah, 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 wah. Z-drive X post on one. That's all they care about. Z-drive that tells everybody what they're doing. Z-drive is a principle where it's a level route. Z comes a shallow cross. Tight end's going a 12-yard in-cut. Back checks to the flat or checks to 2x2 outside the tight end. And the fullback is responsible for Mike Sam. So Mike Sam backer. If two come, I'm hot. Okay? Because the fullback can only block one, and the line is sliding to the will backer. So it says a lot. It's a lot of info, but it tells everybody what to do at the line of scrimmage.
That's why Jim's text messages are so confusing, because he only speaks
in the quarterback code.
Yeah, and then there's some all caps. It's just really, really difficult to understand. But in all seriousness, that's where now you can understand. Just from listening to Jim call out that one play, you can understand why the quarterbacks who are in the same system with the same play caller for a long period of time, you're at a major advantage over the guys that are consistently having to learn a new offense with a new coordinator.
Well, you know what, too, is Jim as a quarterback or us as an offensive lineman, you have to be ready to break the huddle, go to the line of scrimmage. In all of that can be wiped clean and means nothing, because Jim is going to get you on alert. He's going to say a key phrase that's going to change the play, change the assignments, change what the point of attack is if he sees an audible scenario at the line of scrimmage. So there's nothing etched in stone once you break the huddle.
And that's if you're at home and you can actually hear Jim call the play. There are times where you're on the road where it's really loud. You cannot hear the quarterback calling the play. And now you got to go with a hand signal or some kind of taps, whatever it is. And not everyone gets the play in those situations.
Well, that's why I used Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang as an example, because their teacher, I think they've all been in the same grade forever. They can never advance because they're always learning. It's like what you said, Zach. If you're in the same offense every year, it can just grow. It can expand because everybody's on the same page, and just you can do so many things with it when you know it like the back of your hand.
And Jay Cutler and the Bears are in the same offense heading into this offseason as they were last year. Different play caller. But all those guys were around, and I think that's a big deal heading into the 2016 season. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with the new Bears defensive end, Akeem Hicks, right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues. Join the season ticket priority list for the future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. Jim Miller is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. We'll be joined momentarily by the new Bears defensive end, Akeem Hicks, here on Bears All Access. It's a big Wednesday in the Bears all-access world because Adam Schefter reports that Martellus Bennett has been traded by the Bears to the New England Patriots, still waiting for official word, but we know that they've been shopping him, working with his agent, and Zach Miller was just re-signed, so was Rob Housler. So, Tom, when you look at the tight end position for the Bears, what do they now miss on the field without Bennett, and what do they have when you look at the group?
You know, specific size on the line of scrimmage when you talk about Martellus Bennett. You talk about 6'6.5", anywhere between 270 and 280 pounds. And he did give you a lot of power, and he had quick hands coming off the line of scrimmage. However, when you look at the new group of tight ends that the Bears are going to go to bat with this season, I think you gain athleticism. I think you gain a little bit of style points because if you have a tight end that you think you have a really good matchup and you can move a guy around like Zach Miller, and Kari Lee's a young guy. This guy hasn't even got his feet wet yet in the NFL. And so I think his upside, his potential is really strong. And what I saw at a Hausler last year when he was around here, he could stretch the field. He had similar traits to a guy like Zach Miller who could run and catch.
You know what's interesting? We've got Jim here who has done extensive research on this draft class from his time down in Indianapolis at the scouting combine, the Senior Bowl, all the kind of stuff that Jim Miller does throughout the offseason. There was one mock draft that I saw this week, and they're constantly getting rearranged. And I don't know what the latest is with you, Jim, but I saw one from Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, and he had Carson Wentz at 11, where the Bears are picking in the first round. And I know you're a big Carson Wentz guy just based on what you were able to see at the Senior Bowl. If a quarterback like that is available where the Bears pick, and we know they need a lot of help defensively, and it's a deep draft at certain of the defensive position up front on the line in the secondary as well, what do you do if you're Ryan Pace?
Well, I think, you know, you always talk about your options, and I think ultimately you would like to draft a quarterback to groom under Jay Cutler. You know, even though he signed a 7-year deal, isn't this the year? This is kind of where the balloon, and they got to make a decision where they're going to move forward for Chicago and ultimately honor the entire 7 years. So you always got to have a cult quarterback that you're cultivating, you know, trying to groom for the future down the line. I'm a big believer in that. You need to be doing that with three guys. You got to have your starter, your backup, and then, of course, a third guy that minimum should be on your practice squad and constantly grooming him. Shoot, we saw Houston last year. They used four quarterbacks. I mean, God forbid if that were to happen to the Chicago Bears. You always got to have somebody in waiting that can step off the bench and play, and also a guy that you are grooming for down the line that ultimately could be a starter on your team. So I do think that's something that is going to be talked about. I do think potentially the Bears could draft a quarterback in the later rounds of the 2016 NFL draft. I'm not saying it's at number 11, but if there's some talented guys there, I'm sure they would talk about it and say, hey, who's the highest-rated player? Is it Carson Wentz? Well, maybe we draft him and we can potentially trade him. You know, there are teams that have done that in the National Football League. So how does it bring value to your team, and could it bring future value? And it's probably something that's being discussed about the closer they get to the draft if something like that scenario happened to Chicago.
Jim, I got a question for you because you quarterbacks are a unique breed in the NFL. When can you draft a quarterback that will not create controversy? If you draft a quarterback in the first round, will there be immediate controversy if you have a two-interception game? If you draft a quarterback in the second, third, fourth round, is there more time and more patience that the fan base is willing to have? Because you've been on both ends of that quarterback right. scenario. And tell me about the feelings of a quarterback in terms of where a guy is drafted when you're entrenched at the quarterback position.
Well, that's a good point because here, you know, look, that's basically what Cleveland just went through. If any quarterback, whether it was Brian Hoyer or even Josh McCown, threw a pick, everybody's screaming for Johnny Manziel, even though he's not ready to play because the fan base is impatient. And they're expecting, hey, first-round pick, 22 overall for Johnny Manziel. Let's get him on the field. He's a playmaker. And that's just not the case. You've got to be able to be patient and only put a quarterback in there when he can protect himself. What do I mean by that? You know, just like the scenario with 772 protection that I just mentioned. If you got a quarterback that goes out there and can't read Mike Sam Strong, he's going to get killed. He's going to get killed. He's not ready to play because he can't protect himself. So I do think, yeah, later rounds, it's a non-threatening player, but there's still a good player that you can groom at that spot. You know, I was a six-rounder because I was drafted because they wanted to groom me behind Neil Donald, and that ultimately happened for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And lo and behold, a couple years later, I was starting to make a lot of strides, and they said, hey, teams around the league viewed that, hey, we can bring this guy in and he can play. You know, this guy is developed enough where he can get out there and win some games. So I think that, you know, and it's a non-threatening move that you mentioned. So it's a critical piece to the puzzle that all has to be factored in.
What if it is a threatening move? And what I mean by that is a few years ago, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo get drafted in the second round by the Patriots. And we heard whispers that Tom Brady and maybe some of the veterans on the New England roster were not pleased by that decision because it affects your ability to be good right away at other positions.
Right. Well, the one scenario that you can truly bring up, right, Brett Favre could still play ball. Everybody knows that. But what did the Packers do? Aaron Rodgers fell to 24. He fell to 24 to Green Bay. So we can say, oh, what a great pick. Green Bay picked Aaron Rodgers. They didn't even want to take him. They did not want to take Aaron Rodgers, but here a player at the quarterback position had dropped to 24, and he's the highest-rated player. You got to take him. You got to take him. I think that worked out for Green Bay pretty well, even though they didn't want to take him, but it was the right move because he was the best player available, what we always say, on the board. They snag him. He sat for 3 years. 3 years behind Brett Favre. And if they didn't trade Brett Favre to the Jets, he would have been sitting behind Brett Favre a little bit more because I think we know Brett Favre could still play. That was 11-1 with the Jets before he tore his bicep tendon. Then, lo and behold, he ends up with the Minnesota Vikings and takes them to the NFC Championship game. So even though they shouldn't have selected him, they did it. Didn't Green Bay, and it worked out pretty well.
You know, if you look at the history of the quarterback position in the NFL going back a few years, if you look at Steve Young when he was in the USFL or with Tampa, he would have gotten cut. When he went and had the luxury of sitting behind Joe Montana, that's when controversy was started, but he still got to learn how to become a great quarterback and become a Hall of Famer.